welcome to the show of douchebaggery at its finest.
And we're full of badassery on this show.
You know what I mean?
You know, we're just a couple of idiots. I can't believe people actually download this show.
Rules, rules, rules. I feel like we're on the Brady Bunch and I'm Jan. You know what I mean?
If you are new to the show and your ears start bleeding after listening, don't worry. That is a common side effect.
I was a good bowler until I lost my balls. You know what I mean?
Oh, what a douche I am.
Because I ain't got nothing to hump come rut. You know what I mean?
This podcast is almost about bow hunting.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I just do a hunting podcast. You know what I mean?
This is the Great Gatsky from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bow Hunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
What the fuck?
Haven't heard that part yet?
No. You just made me cry.
Oh, shit.
Episode 52, welcome to the Backwoods Bow Hunter Podcast. Today, we're going to go in the backwoods talking deer tracking dogs with my buddy, Tony Dempsey.
It looks like it's got big dummy ears.
No, he doesn't have big dummy ears.
Who the fuck said that?
Hey, Tony, man, how you doing?
Doing good, Tim. How are you, man?
You listened to that intro and didn't hang up on us, so I guess we'll keep you around a little longer.
He's definitely a winner.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. If you like bow hunting and backwoods humor, then you might have stopped at the right place. Our style is for you to feel like you were sitting around the campfire with your buddies, talking bow hunting and, you know, whatever else. And where's my...
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetail Studio.
Whoever that guy is, he likes to interrupt us all the damn time.
A lot.
Backwoods Bow Hunter is proud to support and use Scent Crusher products, Thoroughgood Boots, Garmin, Havilon, RTS Sports, and some I'm sure I'm forgetting. Opening day countdown tracker in Illinois is 21 weeks.
148 days.
Some assholes live in Kentucky and they get to start about 4 weeks sooner than us.
That's bullshit.
Is yours September 1?
It's the first Saturday in September. I don't know what okay. The falls on this year.
Okay. So ours is always October 1, no matter what it lands on. So yours is always the first Saturday. Okay.
Yep.
Well, shit.
Cool.
I guess we're going to Kentucky in September.
Hey, I know a guy.
You know a guy who knows a guy?
Come try to kill a velvet buck.
Yeah, oh, my God, I would love that.
You ever killed a velvet, Tony?
Yeah, I've got a 153-inch 10-pointer in velvet that I've got mounted. Yep.
153-inch?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a big deal.
What a dick.
I was worried I was going to be the one to offend you. Shit. Tim's got that covered. We're golden.
Let's jump into the Blue Line Badass of the Week. Yep, so I've got a couple of short ones here, so I just figured we'd do them both. Where's London, Kentucky, Tony?
That is south on I-75 going towards Knoxville, Tennessee.
So London, Kentucky police officer Justin Roby took action when he learned that a would-be shoplifter, I didn't print off the entire piece of paper.
Oh, hell.
I'll just summarize it because I remember it. He responded to what was going to be a shoplifter, and when he got there, he discovered that the shoplifter was actually he was indeed trying to steal, but he was a single father who apparently had fallen on hard times and he had no money, and he was in the process of stealing formula for his 6-month-old baby. Mm. So Officer Roby, instead of arresting said individual, purchased the baby formula for him.
Good deal.
And gifted it to him. So London, Kentucky Officer Justin Roby is a Blue Line badass.
Hell yeah.
And let's see if I can read this one. This one's out of Osceola County, Florida. A 6-year-old had a birthday party The part that cut off on my piece of paper, I believe he suffers from autism. He's autistic. And nobody showed up to his birthday party. And mother of 6-year-old put it on the Facebook, and the sheriff's office saw it. So multiple sheriff's deputies arrived to six-year-old's birthday party and gave the kid a celebration. So,
I guarantee he liked that better than his friends.
Hell yes. I like it better than my friends.
I like them better than you.
if you want to honor a friend or relative who's out there, who has been out there protecting the thin blue line, submit your blue line badass to us at backwoodsbullhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And we will use this platform to honor those men and women doing one of the hardest jobs.
Hey, like and share us on Facebook.
Hey, you had to throw that in there.
Yeah, we're pretty cool.
You know any police, Tony?
I've got just, you know, local friends here, yeah, in the sheriff's department, a few state police officers, yeah.
How well do you know them, Tony?
No, not very.
Okay.
Probably.
I want to make sure we're like on a business level with them.
Yeah, no. I got one friend's a retired trooper. Yeah, we're pretty. We've gone hunting down to Florida a couple times for Osceola.
Hey, you have another friend who's a retired police officer, and you haven't taken him hunting.
Well, the retired police officer I know actually took me hunting.
So. Oh, I see.
Wow,
I see.
Yeah, the friend of a friend, you know, that had the spot to go.
So. Right. Hey, check out RTS Sports. RTS Sports running and hiking specialty stores. If you are a runner, walker, hiker, or just someone who is on your feet all day, RTS Sports offers the highest quality footwear, gear, and accessories to keep you moving forward. Visit them at one of their two retail locations in Marion, Illinois and Paducah, Kentucky, or online at runtosucceedsports.com. That is my little cheap-ass plug that I have to put in there.
It's a good plug.
I think so. And then, let's do this, and then we will go in the backwoods with Tony.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bowhunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
All right, Tony, man. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day and jumping on here with us dodo birds. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the invite, man. I appreciate it.
So I don't know if you heard the show. It was one of the last couple where I talked about how I actually met you. So yeah. I'll try to summarize that again. And I have drank a little bit since then, so my recount of the story may not be accurate anyway.
You could tell us the truth, Tony.
Oh, I'm sure he will. We were at ATA show, and Scentlock.
What was that? It was in Indianapolis, is where it was. It wasn't in Louisville. It was in Indianapolis.
Was it? I was thinking it was Louisville. Okay.
Was it like 17, something like that?
Yeah. Because I think the first year that I went, I think was 16. So the first time we ever went was Louisville. So. If it was in Indy, then it probably would have been 17.
Yeah, it was in Indy.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember we after the Badlands Film Festival, we went looking for that concert in that Uber out around the bypass somewhere, which that place was closed.
Yeah, so we ended up going to that was the 8 Second Saloon. That was the name of that place.
Yeah, so we ended up going to White Castle.
In feet of snow. Oh, yep. Shit. That was the best Uber driver ever, by the way.
Yes. Yes, he was.
So, before we get into that, mm-hmm. So it, Justin and I, we're going to go to the Scentlock. I believe they call it Happy Hour, Scentlock Happy Hour.
Yeah, it was a reception that they put on. Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't know if we were allowed, but we just went. Mm-hmm. We thought the worst case scenario is they'll tell us to get the hell out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's right. We show up, and it's free booze. And I know the last couple of times I went, they had like cornhole bags and things like that even going on. But mm-hmm. anyway, Justin and I are looking around, and they have these stand-up tables. And I see these two fellas standing over here at this table, and they have a couple spots around them that are vacant.
Yeah.
So I told Justin, I'm like, hey, those two there, they look like a cute couple. Let's go over there and
get to know them
a little bit. Yeah. You know? So it's Shannon and Tony, you know, when we get over there to the table and we're like, hey man, can we stand here? And they, yeah, jump on in. And it got to shooting the bull. And, next thing you know, it leads to an Uber yeah. ride out in the middle of the horrible weather to a White Castle. Is that,
well, you should have questioned. You immediately should have questioned your judge of character when you see two guys like us from Kentucky standing at a table and nobody else standing around us. That should have tipped you off.
There's a reason for that, sir.
Yeah. Oh goodness, yeah. So, first question is: Are the two of you still together?
Yeah, we're still buddies. We're still hunting buddies. And,
oh, just buddies.
Yeah, we're just friends. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, we actually used to work for the same company, for the electric cooperative here in our hometown, which I retired from back in 17. But Shannon, he still works there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to ask you, and you just told me I was going to ask you how the two of you knew each other actually. So that explains
yep,
it.
Yep.
Shannon's a good dude.
But we knew each other. You know, we both went to the same high school. He's just about 4 years younger than me. So we've always known each other, and of course we grew up, you know, in the outdoors and deer hunting, and had a big passion for deer hunting. So, you know how it is when you're in high school with your buddies, you know, that's what you're talking about come fall, and you know, how big a deer you've got, you've seen, and what you're after. So,
yeah. And Shannon's killed some good deer, man. Some of the pictures he's shown us over the few years that we've known y'all, he's got some doozies.
Yeah. He's killed a couple of real good booners, and one of them is in the 170s. I know of. That was the last one he killed, but a couple of years before that, he killed one that grossed 192.
Ooh. Wow.
Yep. Had okay. three drop times. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So a year and a half old, basically.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me your Scentlock connection. So I've explained that on here too, and I may have gotten that wrong. I believe, if I understand correctly, you grew up with or have known basically your whole life the guy who started Scentlock.
Well, not exactly on that part. Okay. Actually, I met Patrick, who owns Scentlock. They're based out of Michigan. I met him through Shannon also. Shannon met him one time at a hunt camp in Ohio, where they were both hunting at the same time, and kind of hit it off. And Shannon invited him down here to deer hunt because, like you said, our season comes in 1st of September. And so Patrick's been coming down here for a few years, and sometimes he brings you know, some colleagues of his with him or some coworkers. And then they ended up, I found a lease for him here 3 years ago. So we leased that property up for him, and Shannon and I kind of take care of it for him. Keep stands in check and good shape for when they come down hunting, you know. And Patrick's just a great guy. He's taking care of me, as you can imagine, with Scentlock clothing, and I take care of him on taking care of his lease for him, and just, you know, just being a friend. So
yeah, of course,
that's the relationship there. So,
well, now you got to take care of me. Let's get Patrick on here.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
He just has to be forewarned of the douchebaggery he's getting into first.
Maybe let him listen to a couple of the mild episodes.
Yeah, I can inform him of that. But if we can get him down, we'll do that. He's pretty busy, as you can imagine. But
oh, yeah, no doubt. I want to put you on the spot, Tony, right quick, if you're willing, because you and I had a conversation a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And mm-hmm. It was based on a show that Mike and I did on broadheads, and we were talking about expandables versus fixed blades. Mm-hmm. And you had made a comment about that you'd like to jump in on that broadhead debate and maybe had something to say about Rage broadheads.
Well, not just rage, you know. And
I thought we were going to throw Mike under the bus here.
Well, I had a bad experience with rage back years ago. But to be honest with you, too, I made a poor shot, a marginal shot, that ended up in hitting some pretty solid bone. Now, had I been shooting a fixed blade where I hit that deer, would it have penetrated and gone through? I don't know. But when that rage hit that deer, and it was in the shoulder, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit when we get into the tracking stuff. But it hit pretty solid bone. The deer took off, and the ferrule of the broadhead, where it screws into the arrow shaft, into the insert, just snapped off right there. I mean, it was not very durable. And that's the last time I've ever shot a rage. Or actually, last time I was going to say last time I shot a mechanical on deer, but I take that back. Since then, a few years ago, I did shoot a couple deer with Grim Reaper, which I liked.
Yeah, that's what I shoot.
So, but I'm old fashioned when it comes to broadheads, and typically I'm going to be shooting a fixed blade broadhead on my deer and definitely on elk. And I'm going to a little heavier setup this year and probably a single bevel, such as a grizzly stick or something like that, just for elk. Now on whitetail, I shoot interlock broadheads. I like what they've got, and they're very tunable. The interlock slice has a rotating ferrule on that, so you can, even after you've got your arrow fletched, insert glued in, you can still adjust those blades to line those up with your fletching if you like, if that matters to you as far as tunability. But like I said, me, I'm old fashioned. I don't like moving parts. You know, I don't want to worry about a blade opening up when I release it and that arrow's in flight. I've heard other nightmare stories about that happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. That's my two cents worth. But I will tell you, when it comes to the marginal shots, I just think, you know, if I'm off a little bit, then I've got a better chance of making a lethal shot with that fixed blade. And it's going to do better in and around bone than mechanical.
Well, have you ever heard the super sound advice that I have given on shooting mechanicals?
I'm not sure. What's the super sound advice?
I hit him two good whacks with it. That second one just plumb near cut his head in two.
There you go.
Yeah, so you get the follow-up shot, right?
That's yeah, you just got to hit him two good whacks. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just got to reload real quick. Pretty easy.
Oh, Tony, you want to talk gobbles? Little gobbler?
Whatever you want.
Little about, gobbler man. Story?
Yeah, so, whatever you want to talk.
So you've been on some turkey hunts this year, and I'm gonna bust your nuts a little bit. By the way, I want to point out before we get into that you've been much more successful with your turkey season than my co-host across the table here.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I heard a couple of your all's episodes and was wondering how it went, Mike. There,
it didn't go good, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, he...
In all fairness, this is my first year ever going.
Yeah.
And my son was my guide, so we knew that was going to be fucked from the start.
Well, so I have a little hidden footage that he doesn't know about that his son recording. So when they were...
Oh, Lord.
When they were out there chasing these birds, Mike decided, you know, he's not very good with a turkey call, so he decided he was going to do some mouth calling. And I actually have footage of that. Here it is.
Oh.
There you go.
Shut the hell up. You're an idiot.
I mean, that sounds just like Mark Drury to me, but.
Hey, all I got to say is if I did it, they would come running. Yeah. Pretty professional.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you. But I will tell you, you know, you say it's your first year, man. I tell you what, you know, turkey can humble a man very quickly, just like a big whitetail can. So.
Yeah. Well, it was depressing because we didn't even hear a tom. We saw one hen. That was it.
Yeah. Birds were very quiet this year. You had to just right. You had to catch the right bird at the right time. But I went to Missouri for 4 days, me and a buddy of mine, and we blanked out there. I mean, it was as tough as I've ever seen it. And I've been turkey hunting since 1989, 90.
Really?
So, yeah.
All right, I got a question for you. Do you think the weather had anything to do with it, with going from warm to cold to rain, warm, cold, rain? I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I think it had a little bit to do with it. And, you know, barometric pressure will affect turkeys also. And but I think in Kentucky here especially, I think the hatches have been kind of bad the two previous years from previous of last year. So we didn't have very many two-year-old birds or even three-year-old birds. And your two-year-old birds are the ones that are really going to gobble every year. They're going to gobble the most. Your older birds, they're not going to gobble. They know the game. They know that there's predators out there. And the more noise they make, the more attention it draws to them. And, you know, we had birds come in silent on us, big mature birds that would come in silent. And plus, we have so many jakes this year from a good hatch that we had last year. We got so many jakes that if you've got a mature gobbler and he's gobbling his head off trying to attract hens, he's also attracting jakes. And those jakes will come in and they'll gang up on him and they'll run him out of the field. Huh. So I think that plays, there's multiple things there that I think were going on with the season that played a big part in that. So
I hate squirrels.
Just my 2 cents worth.
I hate squirrels.
I know you do. We're talking about turkeys.
You got to get rid of some of them fucking soundboards. I can tell you that right now.
I was going to bring up your Missouri hunt, but you just touched on it, Tony. So what part of Missouri were you at?
We were close to Lebanon, which off of I-44 going kind of southwest from St. Louis.
Just I think I asked you this, if it was public or private land. You were hunting private land there?
Private land, yeah. Farmland, yeah. Kind of a mixture of things. We had bottom land, river bottom land. It was crop land and also some hillside hardwoods. Just a beautiful area.
Yeah.
Love it. I think the numbers are down just a little bit, kind of like, you know, what I've been hearing from a lot of people in different states and here in Kentucky. But the birds that we saw birds and they were henned up bad also. That's another thing, Mike, when they're henned up bad, of course you might hear them gobble 2 or 3 times coming off roost, and when they hit the ground, they shut up and they don't need to gobble because they're looking right at the hen. So
yeah,
that was a big part of it too. We saw pretty much all the adult birds out there were henned up. We did call in a group of jakes one day that had 9 jakes in it.
Jeez.
Called them across the river bottom to about 20 yards. And of course, them things are dumber nail anyway. So they just stood around and looked at us, you know. But we didn't really want to shoot a jake. So, but no, it's as tough as I've ever seen it. It was a real tough year.
And you ended up getting blanked in the big state of Missouri.
Yep.
It's a slap right in the tits.
It is a slap in the tits. You're right.
Yep.
Oh, my God, Tim. You're fucking killing me today.
I've got some new soundboard pieces here, Tony, so I'm playing with it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
Oh, that's right.
He's got a lot, Tony.
I'm an idiot.
I'm excited to hear him.
I'm just wondering where the fuck the Tim sound bites are at.
Oh, I've got a whole panel of them.
Okay, good. Good. Here.
I like ass. There you go.
There we go.
Hey, so to bust your balls a little bit, Dempsey.
Yeah, I know.
We talked one day, and you were pretty stoked about getting your daughter out in the woods, go chase some turkeys. And I said, hey, when she puts one on the ground, send me a picture. Let me know. I didn't hear from Tony. Nothing. Yeah. He didn't text me. He didn't call me.
I'm sorry, but.
My wife says, hey, did you see Tony's daughter killed a turkey?
Wow. Like,
so, yeah. You know, when he's having his little late night sessions on the phone with my wife, he informed her of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got secondhand information.
That's right.
That's better than secondhand smoke.
I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
So anyway, tell me about that bird, because that's all, on a serious note, that's awesome, man. How old is the young lady?
And again, I apologize. I'm sorry, but a lot of things were going on that evening, that afternoon, or that evening when she killed this bird. But yeah, my kind of started off. My daughter, she went hunting with me one time when she was about 9 or 10. She went turkey hunting, and I had a bird up in front of her. Well, she just, you know, she just couldn't get shot made. But she never really liked turkey hunting because she didn't like getting up early in the mornings. So
I hear that.
Yeah. I don't like it either, but I love turkey hunting, so that's the reason I do it. But back in the fall, she was here, and she's 25 now. She lives in Louisville. She's an attorney. And so she said, you know what I want to do? I said, what? She said, I want to kill a turkey. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm fired up. I couldn't wait for spring to get here. So anyway, she comes in. We hunted that opening morning. I think it was the 16th of April. Saturday morning, we hunted that morning. We had a bird off in the distance. Nothing to really work good. Birds just got quiet, like we already talked about. You know, we hunted another farm. We called in a big group of jakes. She was wanting to smoke one of them. And I wouldn't let her. So she was kind of pissed about that. But we go back and say, hey, let's go up on this other farm here. Let's go up on the end of this food plot, set up decoys. We'll see what we can strike up in there. Get up there. We get one bird strike. He's over on another farm, mess with him a little bit. He gets cold and gets quiet. Well, we're sitting there, and we got the Jake and a hen decoy up in the edge of the field, and all of a sudden, from back off my right shoulder, I hear footsteps coming, and I told her, I knew it was a turkey. I said, get your gun up, here comes a bird. And he came right around off the side of us at about 15 yards. It actually looked right at us. I don't know. Jeez. I don't know how he didn't spook. I think because he'd already seen the decoys, so he directed his attention right back to them, marched right up that hen, went full strut. He's at about 22 yards. I let the bird strut there for just, you know, about a minute, and it works around, and it's facing directly at us. Now, I don't like shooting a bird in full strut. It's got that head tucked back in there and that neck tucked, you know, but as close as it was and shooting, she was shooting a 20 gauge with TSS loads. And she said, can I shoot him? Can I shoot him now? She was anxious. Her voice was quivering, you know, and I'm like, okay, just remain calm. I said, if you're on him, you let him have it. Well, that's all it took. So,
and pow!
She rolled that bird, and that bird never flinched. He never flopped. He never done nothing. And we get up there, and I turned this bird over, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. She says, has he got double beards or three? I said, no, he's got four beards.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The live audience goes crazy.
Yeah, they love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this thing had four beards that totaled 28 inches of beard.
Oh, lordy.
He had an inch and a half spurs, and he weighed 26 pounds.
Wow.
And the bird never made a gobble, never made a sound.
Damn.
It's a totally different bird from what we'd worked an hour and a half earlier, so.
I bet she forgave you for not letting her shoot that Jake, didn't she?
Yeah, she gave me then. She knew that I had her best interest in mind. So.
Yep.
Well, I haven't forgiven you for not letting me know.
But yes, I'm so sorry.
You know. I forgive you, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
But so that was her very first long beard.
Golly.
Very first turkey.
How old is she?
She's 25.
Okay.
25 and an attorney. Aren't you paying attention, Tim?
No, I'm not.
Shit.
No.
I don't blame you for not calling him, Tony.
No.
Thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome, buddy.
Who do we have on the phone? I forgot. Hey, you've got another cool story. At least it sounded cool, and I hope to get some details on it. So the May 1st bird was a pretty cool, pretty cool turkey hunt, sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, I normally we have a good population of birds here, and normally I tag out within the first 2 or 3 days of our season. But like I said, birds are quiet, and it's been tough. And I was really concerned whether or not I was going to tag out this year. And last Sunday morning, well, actually Saturday evening, I saw these birds in a field here, and after watching them work off in the direction they went, I figured where they were going to roost at. So I went back to that area at dark and let out some owl hoots and roosted that bird. So I knew where he was. I said, well, I'm going to slip in there in the morning. I know there's hens around there close. He's still got hens with him. I know that I can't compete with him really, calling, but I can get close enough. And if I have to call to him, then I might get a crack at him. So I slip in and use the cover of darkness and the trees and everything else. And I ended up getting about probably 70 yards from this bird's tree. And he gobbled a few times on the roost that morning because we had some thunder going on. We had a little bit of lightning off in the distance, but luckily it never did storm on me. Never got any rain. So I'm sitting there, and as it gets daylight, about 40 yards above him, there's a couple of hens that fly out of the trees above him, and they go over the tree line that I'm sitting in. They land in a food plot. And I'm like, well, man, he'll be coming out any minute. It's going to be time, you know. So he gobbles another time or two, and about 5 minutes later, he decides to pitch out. I hear his wings beat, but I can't see him at this time. But I hear his wings beat as he's coming out of that tree. And about that time, I raise my gun. I look, and he comes out from behind a big cedar tree, and he flies down, and he's at about eye level, and he's flying straight at me.
Oh, hell no.
Big freaking bird with about an 8-foot wingspan, and I'm like, holy crap, this damn thing's gonna land on top of me.
He's gonna sink his talons in and take you with him. What he's gonna do.
Man, I'm telling you what, I've never had anything like that happen. I thought, okay, he's gonna land on the hillside down below me, which would be about 35-40 yards, which would be a real good shot, you know. But no, he just keeps coming. And if it wasn't for the small trees that were in front of me at about, 10 feet, he probably would have landed on me. But he landed about 5 steps away, right in front of me.
Golly.
And then the first thing in my mind was, he's too close. I'm going to miss this bird because I have no pattern at 5 yards. And I was exactly right. He went to my right, and then he went back to my left a little, and he stopped. And I'm like, I got to shoot him right here. And I mean, I thought I had the bead on him as tight as I could get on him, but I pulled the trigger. And of course, he takes off running. I missed him. So he takes off running, and I swing the gun around, put the bead on him, and roll him at about 15 yards. So that's how that kind of went down. And just an amazing, I can still see that bird just flying straight at me. And it was just amazing hunting with this experience that I've never had and all the turkeys I've killed, which, like I said, it's been since 89 or 90. But it just, you know, it's always something new with turkey. And that's what keeps you coming back, you know, keeps you going. But yeah,
that's really cool.
It was a good bird. Had 11-inch beard, weighed, that bird weighed 26 pounds.
Jeez.
Yep.
I probably would have peed a little.
And I just about did more than pee. I thought I was gonna have to
hunt's over. But, smells like shit over here.
That's right. Yeah. I'm like, what's that smell? Oh, that's because that bird was flying. He's about to land on me.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I shot that bird at 6:40 in the morning.
Is this your farm you're hunting in Kentucky?
Yeah, it's a neighbor farm here, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you told me earlier you were going to give the GPS coordinates to it.
Yeah, I'll have to look those up. I'll drop a pin and send that to you.
Okay. I wouldn't know how to open it anyway, so go right ahead.
Pin the shit out of it. I won't know what to do with it.
Do you do taxidermy at all, like for meaning your daughter's bird?
I've done some taxidermy for the last several years, but I've never done birds. I've just mainly done whitetail and, you know, bobcats and things like that. But no, when she shot her bird, she of course shot it full strut, and it tore the fan up pretty bad on it. And I mentioned to her, "You want to get this bird mounted? You know, we could have put a replacement fan on it. That'd have been no problem." But
right.
Well, I don't know. What would it cost to get it done? I told her. She said, no, I'm all right. It's all right. You know, see, what it's a big thing with her, but I've saved the spurs and the beard and the beards, and then the skull. I'm gonna clean the skull, and I'm gonna do a little display with those parts.
Nice.
Cool. That'd be awesome.
Very cool.
Well, the main reason to have you on today is we want to talk about the Bavarian Mountain Scent Hound.
I do like cats.
Well, it's a dog.
Goddamn. All right.
Deer tracking dogs. And I'm going to read this real quick, Tony, and then you tell me if this pretty well summarizes the breed. The Bavarian Mountain Scenthound is calm and balanced, devoted to its owner. It's sound, self-assured, unafraid, neither shy nor aggressive. The breed's most notable trait, and I think this is what really is the main purpose of this show, because this is pretty cool. The breed's most notable trait is its outstanding cold nose tracking ability. His nose is so acute, he can distinguish between the injured game he is hunting and the other animals of the same species. This somewhat lightweight, active, medium-sized breed is devoted to his owner. He is not a kennel dog and prefers to be around his human family. So that just a little summarization I printed off this morning. Does that describe him pretty well?
That pretty well describes mine to a T. Cool. You get a little bit different temperament. Some of them could be a little more shy. But my dog is not like that. He took after his daddy, I guess. His mama is a little more shy, but his daddy's kind of a wild man. And my male Finn, he's kind of a wild man too. He loves everybody, but they are really devoted to their owners, their masters. Just great dogs. I mean, best way I can explain it too, with a dog like him, and he is a hound, and I've had hounds in the past. I've had coon hounds. I've had beagles. But I've never had a hound that is as intelligent as him. And he's kind of crossed between a hound dog that has the level of loyalty and intelligence as a lab does, for example, because I've had labs in the past, you know, and they're just very loyal, They're very, very intelligent. And that's how he is. And, you talk about, that's what they're known for is their cold nose tracking. And, they can distinguish an injured animal from all the other live animals that are still out there running around. That, you know, when you're tracking, you're going to come across a lot of other deer that have crossed that track at some point. And they know which one to stay on.
So the little story here that led to this was, I used to raise Labradors since you brought up labs, and it's been a while. I ran them in hunt tests and hunted with them occasionally. Haven't done much of the waterfowl scene in quite a few years, but I did run them in hunt tests. I was just a lab guy. And when my female lab died, my champion lab, I was pretty tore up about it. And I ended up tearing down my kennels, and I was done with dogs. I'm never doing this again kind of thing. And we did have a house dog, and then she passed a couple years ago. But my wife has been on my ass about wanting a dog ever since Libby passed. So I'm like not wanting any part of it. So one of my very few times that I visited the Facebook, one of the first things that pops up is a picture of Tony's dog. And I showed you the picture a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Really good looking dog. Yeah. Really is. I'm assuming they all look the same, but it's a brown body, like just a light chocolate brown, and then mm-hmm. its face is a dark chocolate look. And just, to me, it just stood out. It was a super attractive dog.
Cute as a button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just simply commented on Tony's post. That's a good looking dog. Little did I know he was going to turn into a stalker and track down Mrs. Jarvis. And all of a sudden she's on. Bam. She wants this dog. She wants it bad.
Yep.
And because I had made the mistake of letting her know at one point in time that if I ever get another dog, it'll probably be back to a lab, because I'm just a lab guy, you know.
Yeah.
Well, all that took for her to hear was, oh, he's open to the idea of getting another dog.
A dog, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lab. There just was a dog.
There was a big if there, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now she is on my ass about Bavarian Mountain Scent Hounds. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you.
Good. I'm sorry, buddy. You know, you would be really good with a tracking dog. I mean, you know, as much as you all love the deer hunt, it's great to have that other tool there in your tool bag, you know?
Well, and that's what I really want to get into with you is because you're absolutely right. It sounds like if IF capitalized were to get another dog, IF. This would be a really cool species of dog because, or breed, I should say, because it's right up my alley on what they yep. do. And so first of all, what led you to it? And then, if you don't care, I know you've shared a story with me that I thought would really be a good content for the show with was the young man from Georgia that you helped yep. track. Yeah. So if you can just yep. kind of describe what led you to this breed and then tell me about the dog and the training and, you know, that story specifically.
Okay. Actually, a good buddy of mine, actually, that Dennis Redden lives down in Benton, Kentucky, just down there close to Paducah, which is closer to you than it is me, you know. And I'm about 4.5 hours from his place. But he has fooled with tracking dogs over the last several years, and then he got into the Bavarians probably 5 years ago, something like that. And he had a male and a female, and this was his first litter of pups that he had raised. And I said, you know, I said, if you get your female bred, you know, let me know. I'd like to have a pup. So he did. And luckily, you know, I pretty much got my choice. I was first on the list and I took the only male out of the litter, which is Finn. I've always been interested in it because, you know, up in this area too, where I live, there really were no tracking dogs. And there's been the need for a tracking dog around here several times that, you know, I've had buddies. They're like, man, I shot a good buck. We ran out of blood. Can't find him. And you know, anybody that's got a tracking dog? I'm like, I do, but there's several hours from here and it's probably going to be pretty expensive to get him up this far, you know? So I'm like, you know, I've always been a dog guy like you. I had labs too. But the last three labs that I had, they got down in their hips so bad as they gotten older or they got cancer. And I said, you know what? I'll never have another one. Just, you know, you get heartbroken over those things. But I've had beagles and everything else in the past. And I said, you know what? I love to deer hunt. And this could be a great tool to have, tracking a wounded deer. And that's kind of what led me to getting this pup. And then brought him home, actually got him started training him at 8 weeks old out here in the yard. Just start scent dragging. The first thing I started with actually was just a piece of raw liver. And that could be beef liver or deer liver or whatever. Doesn't have to be specific to any animal. So first thing I did was make sure that he got to see it and he got to taste it. And then I wanted him sight chasing it as I drug it away from him. And me and the wife, we did that out here in the yard, and he took right to it, and he got really aggressive with it. So he knew by sight what he was smelling and what he was tasting. So after that, I would take the liver, and I would drag it maybe 50 yards through the yard and plant it somewhere around the landscaping or something like that. Then I'd bring him out, on the leash and start him on it, let him track it up. And then his reward at the end was either a treat or a piece of the raw liver or something like that. And then we just kept progressing from there, making the tracks longer and harder. And then we graduated to using pieces of deer hide and a little bit of deer blood on that. And that's the key, you know, really getting them onto the deer blood. And then, you know, out there laying the tracks as you're starting them, let that track rest for 30 minutes one day, let it rest for 2 hours the next, and then for 6 hours and so on. Just keep making it more difficult and but making it fun for them and that they get that reward at the end.
Yeah, that's and key. Then just, that's not to interrupt yeah. you, but that's key in dog training, having done it for years, is it's got to be a fun experience for those dogs.
So then, you know, then by that time, as he got about, he was about 5 months old, I told all my buddies around here, I said, hey, I'm working with my pup. I need easy tracks for him. I need to make sure that we've got tracks to where we know this deer is dead. I don't want to put him on anything marginal, you know, until he gets more experience. So I had some good friends that they said, hey, I shot a deer and I know this thing is smoked. I know it's dead. We got good blood. I said, well, don't walk down in there. Let me bring my pup. So take my pup, put him on it, let him track it up. And the first one that he came up on, actually, we got about 40 yards from this deer and he already smelled the deer. I couldn't see it, but he smelled it, and he bristled up, and he started backing up into me and growling, and I guess he thought he'd done found a grizzly bear, because he didn't. That's the first. Yeah, he'd never even seen a deer before, but he about crapped himself, you know, and but once we got, I kind of coaxed him on up into it and into it, you know. Then he got to where, hey, okay, this is what I'm doing. Then he got to, he got to pull on the hair on the hindquarters and jerking hair out of it and just tugging and pulling, and that was his reward. And from then on, we kept tracking more easy tracks, put him on more deer. That's the best thing you can do, is just put him on deer. And just kind of progressed from there. We had a good first season. He's still learning, but I'm very pleased with what he's done so far. He's found some that were quite a bit more difficult. We found some deer that were still alive, and we would back out and leave them alone, and the hunter would go back in the next morning, and the deer would be expired. So that's just kind of just that basic outline of it, what we've done the first season.
So he's just a little over a year old now, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was a year old April 9th.
Okay.
So we're really looking forward to this coming year, because this is the year right here he's really going to learn a lot. Things are really going to get tougher for him, but he's going to get a whole lot more exposure to tracking.
So is this
something? We probably tracked 15 deer last year with him.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, that's good. That's a good first year's experience.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that's going to be I hate to use the word business, but is this like business opportunity-ish? You know, something?
To a degree, yeah.
You market it as such, you know, where people come to you kind of deal, I guess? Or is it word of mouth where somebody's just like, yeah, I know a guy over here and, you know, wherever.
Yeah. A lot of it's word of mouth, and it's, you know, guys around here local that know me, and that they'll share my name with somebody else or give them my number. And that's all fine. And also this year, I'm probably going to be joining Lance Brantley. He lives more in the western part of the state, and he actually runs a standard bloodhound, American bloodhound, named Hank. And he's probably the best tracking dog that I've ever seen. And Hank is really just a legend when it comes to tracking. He's a five-year-old dog. Yeah. We wish we could all find five-year-old deer, right?
Right.
But he's a five-year-old dog, I think, now, and has a lot of experience. And he's made some unbelievable recoveries. And Lance gets calls all the time for different parts of the state. And I'm probably going to be going on board with him a little bit this year on what his company name is. His tracking business name is, it's called On Track K9 Deer Recovery. And any calls that he gets up in this area, he'll push them my way. And then we'll work together on that as far as what any of the expenses would be involved. With the hunter, that would all go back through. That'd be done back through Lance and his business through On Track.
Cool. That was just.
But, it's a way for me to help him out too, for calls that he gets up in this area, and it's a way for him to help me out too and get me more exposure and more opportunities with my dog.
So the video. But, you know, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, I interrupt you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about the video you sent me with the young man from Georgia.
Mm-hmm. That was an opening weekend gun hunt. And this was on a Sunday. And I get a text from a guy. He says, hey, I'm up in so-and-so, part of Northern Kentucky. He said, my son shot a good deer this morning. We tracked it about 200 yards. We jumped the buck up out of his bed. And he said the buck had a hard time getting out of his bed and running, but the deer ran off and we just let him go. We didn't try to track him any further. He said he would make it worth my while, you know, if I come track the deer for him and find his son's deer.
Is this somebody you know, or did they get referred to you?
He got my number from another lady that does tracking.
Okay.
And I don't know if he went through the United Blood Trackers webpage. A lot of people will go through the United Blood Trackers webpage. You can get on there. You can look up trackers for your state and actually get their phone number if they're listed in there. Hmm. But I'm not listed on that webpage. Not yet. So he may have called or texted this other lady, which in turn, if you can imagine that time of year, everybody's so busy when it comes to tracking.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lance will get 30 calls a day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And you can only do so many. I mean, you gotta pick and choose on the ones that you think you really got a good chance at recovering. So anyway, she wasn't able to do that one. And she referred that guy to me because she knew I was within 40 minutes of that location. So that's how he got a hold of me. He texted me and I made my way up there and met him and kind of talked to him a little bit and get an idea of what they'd found, what they'd seen, how the deer acted. Go from there, started fanning in on the original track, working up to the bed. Now, I want to get him on that line so he knows exactly what deer he's tracking. I didn't want to go to the last point, where they saw the deer. You got to get some things established there with him first. And especially being a young pup, he was, 6 months old at the time. And he worked all the way up to the bed, made a turn, worked out of the bed, down a fence row. And I said, does this look right? And they said, yeah, he's right on him. And
wow.
He drug me through that fence row that was just thick with briars, and he went
of course
and I made my way over the fence, and we're going in this big weed field and briars and thicket, and there's a trail there, and we go about another 20 yards and he makes a turn around this little briar thicket, and if he makes that turn, there lays that buck dead. So in a matter of about 10 minutes we found that kid's deer, and it was just it was great, man. I was pumped. I was just as jacked as they were, and
hell yeah,
excited. And because, when you got a dog and it finds a deer for him, it's a little part of that deer is yours also, it's that dog's.
Yeah.
It's that dog's recovery. And I had as much fun, honestly. I had probably more fun tracking last year than I did deer hunting. It's just it's something new. And, but when you get to help people out like that too, and you recover the deer for them, it's just a good feeling.
Especially a kid. I mean, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was a freshman at the University of Georgia, and they had to get back. I mean, it was kind of a mad dash to get that deer out of there. I helped them drag it out of there and get it loaded up, and we got it back up to the top of the farm there where they were staying at the house. And he was having to get back that afternoon, that evening, so he could get back for classes the next morning, Monday morning. But it was just a happy ending to that story. So
very nice.
So what's your summertime, spring, summertime off season training plan with him? How do you keep him, I guess, fresh and sharp?
I'll lay a track for him occasionally. But that stuff now it's kind of become.
I'm sure. A lot of it's instinctual.
It's kind of become easy for him, too easy for him. And I'll use a deer hoof now. The last track I made, I actually used the deer hoof with just a little bit of blood on the hair on the side of the leg, because this was a deer hoof. This was a leg I saved from a deer that I had shot back in the fall. Because, people talk about, okay, well, we tracked this deer and we lost blood. What do we do now? Well, these dogs, once you've had that dog on that track and he's tracked some blood, he's related that blood to the scent of that deer that's coming out of that deer's hoof through his interdigital glands. Okay. When a deer has been shot, they give off a different scent through their interdigital glands. They give off a different pheromone from a deer that is relaxed and calm. So they can differentiate that deer just by the scent off that deer's hoof, even if that dog loses blood. So that's kind of what I'm doing now with him, to get a little more interdigital scent and not as much blood, just for him to practice on and stay sharp on, and just make the tracks a little bit tougher for him.
That's awesome.
Huh. I did not know that. Yep. I learned something new.
Yep. I learned that too when I started tracking, honestly.
Very educational show right here.
Well, let's not go too far. I don't want to be rebranded. I mean, we like to stay in the realm of idiots first.
People will be like, wait a minute, that show was serious. Fuck that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we talked about broadheads earlier. Can we get back into that just a little on when it comes to tracking?
We can, if you don't mind, if I take a quick break.
That's fine.
All right. So do we want to read the Garmin ad or the Thoroughgood Boots ad? Tony, you're the guest of the show. You pick.
Thoroughgood Boots. That's what I wear.
Thoroughgood Boots. Check out their Infinity series of leather and rubber boots. By the way, I have an entire podcast recorded with Thoroughgood that's going to be published at some point in the near future. Offered in both insulated and non-insulated options for your hunting and hiking needs, Thoroughgood's FlexDrive technology adds flexibility and energy return to keep you going while reducing shock and propelling you forward. Their aggressive outsole provides a stable, slip-resisting, flexible platform, allowing for a high level of performance. For those needing warmth in their boots, Thoroughgood offers their Solar Core aerogel lining. This NASA-inspired technology has been tested to retain 50% more heat with a antimicrobial wicking liner that keeps your feet dry and comfortable.
Unless you're tracking the blood trail on a whitetail, tune in for more of the Backwoods Bowhunter podcast.
Rocking a shirt with piss all over the bottom of it. No, I did not. That is not true.
That only happened once.
I don't know who controls the soundboard, but that's ridiculous.
That's just nonsense.
Oh, Tony, you were talking about broadheads with tracking.
Yeah. Yeah. And just some things that I've seen just initially here in this first year of tracking. But in talking, you know, talking to some friends of mine that also track, you know, like Lance and which he's got a lot of experience with it. And the biggest thing that I see people doing on their shots, on making their shots on deer, is hugging that shoulder too tightly. Mm-hmm. And they always say, well, you know, and when it comes to bow hunting, they're like, man, I want to put it right through that shoulder. You know, that's fine if you're shooting a rifle. If you want to put it through the shoulders and you want to break that deer down to keep him from going anywhere, that's fine. But when it comes to bow hunting, the best advice I can give you is stay away from that shoulder. Most of the deer that we attempted to track and never recovered the deer were shoulder hits. You would find the arrow, you'd find the broadhead still intact, and there would be blood up on the arrow shaft 2 or 3 inches. Knew right then it was a shoulder hit. Mm-hmm. And typically those deer show back up on camera the next night or 2 nights later. And the people want to hug that shoulder just too tight. I understand. I love that. I want a double long shot. That's where I want to hit a deer. And of course our ideal shot is a nice gentle quartering away shot or broadside. And, like I always tell everybody to always aim for the offside shoulder if that deer is quartering away from you. But stay away from that shoulder, because if you're off just a little bit, if you miss the lungs and you do happen to get back further into the gut area, liver shot or a gut shot, which nobody ever likes to admit that they made a gut shot.
Nope.
That's the way it is.
However, we all have.
Yeah. But guess what? If you make a gut shot on a deer, that deer is going to die. And if you stay out of there and you let that deer lay for 9 to 12 hours and I bring my dog in, He's going to find me. I promise you. A gut shot deer is the easiest deer to track for a dog.
Makes sense.
The scent is all over the place.
I bet. That smells wonderful.
Yeah. But if you hit that shoulder and you don't get penetration,
yeah.
Sorry. We're not going to recover that deer.
He's going to live. We've talked about it on the show a few times, actually, where if your shot placement's a little far back, to wait, give it time. And I understand it's a lot easier to say give it time than it is to give it time, you know, because especially if it's a Pope and Young type of deer, you know, that you just made a shot placement on, you want to get down and go recover the animal. And I get it. But you're absolutely spot on with give it time. It will go down and expire.
Yes. Yeah. For example, a friend of mine that I used to work with here locally called me this past season. His daughter shot a nice buck. And Mike, I will point this out to you. I know it's your favorite because you love crossbows so much.
It's on my agenda. We haven't got to that yet.
I knew this was fucking coming.
Just slap right in the tits.
Anyway, shot this deer. She shot this real nice buck with crossbow, and she actually had it on video. But you couldn't. A crossbow bolt is so fast you can't even hardly pick it up on video. You can't tell where you exactly hit.
Yeah.
So anyway, they tracked this buck for a little while. You know, it wasn't that long of a distance. They tracked him up on this trail up in the woods, and actually saw the deer out in front of them. Moving along, kind of humped up, and they backed out. And he called me, and he wanted to know my thoughts on it. And I told him, I said, let's leave the deer alone. If he's still on his feet, it could be gut shot. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Leave the deer alone. We'll go back in there at daylight the next morning. And I took my pup in there, and he was just a little over 5 months old. We got him on the track. And at this time, that track is 12 hours old. We got him on the track. He pretty much made a beeline straight to that deer, and we found that deer dead within 150 yards of where she shot it.
Holy shit.
Damn. How far did they track it before they backed out?
Maybe 75 yards, something like that.
So their scent didn't throw off the deer at all, right?
What was that?
I said their scent didn't throw off the dog at all. From them walking down that path and back?
No, it didn't. No.
Yeah, you said deer.
I did say deer. Like, shut the
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's I had an area.
Yeah. Dog, deer. Hey, they get confusing, you know. But,
They both start with D.
And, you know, that deer, I don't think that deer had really been dead all that long before we had found it.
Really?
Rigor mortis had not even set in on that deer yet. He wasn't even stiff.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Do you guys have problems in Eastern Kentucky with coyotes? Or coyotes get to your deer?
Oh, yeah.
Before that opportunity sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that you hate to leave a deer because there's always that possibility because we do have a lot of coyotes here. But you know what? If you're out there and you're tracking and you're pushing that deer anyway, and he's going over onto somebody else's farm or he's going two or three farms over, then you know what? It's making it that much more difficult to find the deer anyway. So you're better off to take a chance and say, you know what? Maybe the coyotes won't find him, won't get to him. Maybe the coyotes won't bump him and push him somewhere else.
Right.
That happens too. So,
yeah, of course. Man, that was good stuff.
Double-edged sword there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that's good stuff, man. Talking about tracking dogs, I found that very educational and cool, man. So I'm glad you, that not only are you into it, but that you came on here and talked about it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Yeah. As you can tell, I enjoy talking about it. But,
I do like cats.
Well, like I told you earlier, it's called scent hound for a reason. It's a damn dog, man.
Yep.
So, Tony, we have a little section we call Shoot It or Let It Walk. I wanted to go through a few of these now for explanation purposes in case you don't know. It doesn't mean would you take a shot or let it walk. It's just a gimmicky name. So Shoot it or let it walk. If you were only offered one hunt remaining in your life, you get one hunt. You chasing a gobbler or a whitetail?
Oh my gosh. Oh. Are we talking about a booner whitetail? Or are we just talking about a whitetail hunt, period?
Just talking whitetail hunt.
Well, and I got to go with gobblers.
Okay. I kind of thought you might say that, yeah. So I have turkey hunted. I don't turkey hunt as often as I would like to. Maybe something I need to make a change in my life. But
yep.
For me, I'm going whitetail.
Yep. Whitetail here.
Yep. Okay.
Only because of my booming success at turkey hunting so far.
Oh shit.
I love Tim.
Shoot it or let it walk. If your wife is on your ass about buying a dog and there happens to be a litter of these bastards available, really were. I don't know if they are anymore or not, Tony, but do you shoot it or let it walk? And I don't mean shoot the damn dog. I mean, do you buy it?
Or the breeder.
Do you buy it?
Shoot the breeder.
No, I might shoot my friend in Kentucky, but do you buy it or take a pass?
With me, I buy it, but your marital situation might be different.
What about you, Edgen?
I don't know. My wife sometimes can really, you know, put the beat down on me, so I don't know.
You're going to let it walk?
I'd probably have to let it walk this time, but yeah.
Before we move on to the next one, what
kind about of, you, Tim?
What kind? Yeah. Uh-huh. What kind of price point are we talking about on this?
Oh, shit.
What kind of price point are on these pups?
$1,500.
That's pretty damn close to what I paid for my last lab. Okay, so am I shooting it or let it walk?
Yep.
That might be a story for another show.
That might lead right into the dry fire, maybe?
No, I don't know. Let's say tomorrow the United States of America and Joe Mincha up there decides that he's going to ban compound bows. So if you're going to hunt, you can only hunt with a crossbow from here on out. Shoot it or let it walk.
Let it walk.
Let it walk.
Let it walk.
Yeah, fuck that.
You're letting it walk?
No, I'll go out with a goddamn stick.
I'm an outdoorsman. I've got to be out there. I'm shooting it. I don't care what it is.
Or I'll say, fuck Joe, and I'll keep my compound.
I will have to say this, and you know, and I'm a vertical bow guy, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I love my compound. I'll even shoot a recurve or a longbow. But you know, if I get to the point, you know, I'm almost 54 years old. If I get to the point to where one day that my shoulders won't let me draw a bow and be able to shoot the way I want to shoot, then you know what? I'm like you, Tim. I'm gonna do whatever possible for me to be out there hunting. So,
and here's where I'm at with this, Tony.
Here's the can of worms.
I have definitely made this clear. If it comes to a point where you can no longer use your compound,
yeah,
because of my shoulder's done, I want to continue to hunt, I think it's okay.
Yep.
But I do not believe that some 30-something-year-old man who's in good physical condition should be out shooting a goddamn freaking crossbow.
No, you didn't hear. They got banned. They're now illegal. So crossbow's the only option.
I'm fucking hunting like an outlaw. I ain't using one. I'm using my own shit.
Okay.
Joe can come take it.
Okay. Hey, I want to be a capuchin monkey.
A furry?
That's besides the point. We're going to talk about something else.
Furries. Fuck them, too.
I heard the city of Marion or the school district of Marion got a grip on that, like that kind of.
Oh, good. Yeah, they don't have a kitty litter box in the fucking bathroom? No. Good.
No.
Holy shit. I still think the parents should be put in a room and we should be able to beat the shit out of their parents.
All right, Tony, I want to see where you're at on steaks, because I know how my cohort over here thinks about steaks. So shoot it or let it walk. Somebody throws down just a good old-fashioned medium-rare ribeye right in front of you. You going to shoot that or let it walk?
Oh, I'm going to shoot that all day.
Hell yes. I know what you're going to say. You're letting it walk.
I'm putting you don't it back even have to reply. For 5 more minutes.
Well, what's the deal on that?
He's now, a well Mike. Done kind of douche.
Dude.
Yeah.
Tony, don't judge me. The blood creeps me out.
Oh, come on, man. It's not blood, it's juice.
I know, that's right. what everyone says.
I keep trying to tell him. It's not blood.
It's red fucking juice. It's creepy. Not blood.
It is not.
It's creepy, Tony.
No, it's not, dude. Come on. Get a little caveman in you now. Come on. I mean, you know, let the caveman out. Come on.
I told him if we would dim the lights, and no, this isn't getting...
If we dim the lights and speak real nice to Tony.
Show off my nuts. That's not what I meant by dim. I was going to say, if we dim the lights and I put a medium rare ribeye in front of him and a well done ribeye, that he will navigate to the medium rare without knowing it.
Yeah.
If I don't see the blood, I'm down. The sauce.
Gee whiz, man.
My son takes his fucking...
I say I've been hornswoggled.
Sorry, I was premature.
My son you might take his...
If you eat a well-done steak, you might as well be eating jerky.
I do like jerky.
Or chewing on a leather belt.
Chewing on a leather belt. Like
yeah.
Well, the I've been hornswoggled means we're going to dry fire your bow. And Tony, you're the guest. You got to have something that dry fires your bow.
Oh, my gosh. Man, you put me on the spot.
I should have prepared you first, huh?
Oh,
he
man,
he does the same
yeah.
thing to me all the time, Tony.
Golly, what dry fires my bow?
If I'm going to look like a busted can of biscuits, I want to be a tan busted can of biscuits.
It's not your turn, man.
Sorry.
Tony's up.
Show's never going to be the same.
Well, without going into too many details,
that's no fun.
I will have to say what dry fires my bow is when, you know, you're out here trying to do everything right when it comes to turkey hunting. You know, you're going out and you're locating birds, you're calling birds, and you know, without a shadow of doubt, that you've got some people that are maybe a couple farms over that tend to throw out the little golden nuggets to lure the turkey and keep the turkey in on their farms.
The lure of the turkey gods.
Yeah. So that's what really dry fires my bow. And I'll just leave that at that.
Yeah, we don't like shit bags either.
That actually wasn't a sound bite. He actually just said that.
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I hear you. I've, without saying names, because I don't think he wants me to, but I've got a good buddy who's Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Police. And he's told me a couple stories of some people that I know in the Western Kentucky region that are baiting the turkeys, and he's been trying to catch and chase them down, you know. So I hear you. I'm right there with you, man.
Yep.
Mine are short and simple. I've got a few, but they're short and simple. I wanted to stay hunting related, but these three just kind of pissed me off, so I couldn't. There's two things that are terrible in life. Number two, running a weed eater around a 1 acre size pond. That just straight up sucks nuts. What makes it worse is when you run out of string running your weed eater around the 1 acre pond. So that's one thing that dry fires my bow. Another thing is I've been having a gastrointestinal issue, as you know, Mike, that I need to be seen by a physician.
Yeah.
I tried to make an appointment about a week ago, and the closest available appointment is in June.
June.
Hmm. I mean, by then.
That's gonorrhea.
Right.
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
When the fuck did I ever say that?
That was your deer that you guys had called gonorrhea.
Yeah, gonorrhea. All right, I remember that.
And then the last thing is the Walmart guy. I was in the Walmart yesterday, and all I needed was a thing of deodorant. And I go down the deodorant aisle, and there's this guy, and he's like, man, I don't know if, this is what he says. I don't know if I want to go to the mall and buy that Hilfiger or if I want to get some of this stuff here. And he's pulling off the body sprays, and he's shooting them off in the air trying to smell them. And he fires off about four different flavors. And first of all, somebody's going to come in behind you and buy them, and they're going to have a half-empty can.
Yep.
You know. But second of all, you just blended all four of them together over the top of your head. What are you smelling anyway?
Yeah. No.
You know.
No clue.
So that's the nonsense I've got. You're up.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we usually record for an hour, and we're already at an hour 20.
So I'm going to make this quick.
Don't tie into it too deep here.
All right.
Okay.
So the iPhone updated. Do you realize there is a fucking pregnant man emoji in the goddamn iPhone now?
I did not know that.
A fucking pregnant man emoji in the iPhone. What in the actual fuck is that? That's just as fucked up as furries.
I don't know.
I mean, it's America, goddammit. Even if you're one of them transy people and you fucking say, hey, I'm a guy. If you're a guy, you don't want to be pregnant, right? You want to be doing the impregnating. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's confusing as shit to me.
Just slap right in the tits.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Pregnant man emoji. When the fuck?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't done the update. When was the update?
Ooh, I don't know. But I saw something. I'm like, no, that's not true. And I fucking whipped through my phone and damn, there's a pregnant man emoji holding his belly. What in the shit?
Holy cow.
Tony, that ain't right.
No, and I just now found it. The update was last weekend.
Look, well, Tony's like, hell no.
I think I've updated since then, so I've probably got it, yeah.
Yeah, go to your emojis.
You just sent it to me. I appreciate it.
Congratulations, Tony.
There it is. Pregnant, you know?
Wow.
Pregnant man emoji.
What kind of butt fuckery is that?
Holy shit.
Oh, mercy. No, man. Yeah. No.
Furries 1 week, pregnant men emojis the next. What's next?
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Tony, you have been an awesome guest, as I expected you would be. You're a good dude, and we're a couple of shit stick idiots that like to have a little bit of fun. But
no, I know better than that, dude.
You are a quality guy, and I'm proud to know you, proud to call you friend, and I'd love to have you on again.
Same here, brother. I appreciate it, and glad that we crossed paths there at ATA a few years ago. I tell you,
I believe we were put in certain places at the right times for reasons, and that was one of them. Yep. Man, you guys are awesome. You and Shannon are quality dudes, and I look forward to seeing you guys every January at that show and seeing what kind of mischief we can get into. Because we're bound to get into something. So. We'll have to maybe. Well,
We're too old to get in too much trouble, but
that's true.
But we had a good time, and you know, it's great spending time with you and Justin. I just, man, I really enjoy it, and really appreciate y'all's friendship. Even though I forgot to send you pictures of my daughter's turkey.
That's so, all right. You know, I'm nearing forgiveness. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. Hey, we came up with a new idea for our guests. You know, we've only had a couple, but. We want to give like a parting gift to our guests. So
one free hand job.
There you go, man.
I fucking hate you.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, whenever I see you, Tony. Apparently, I'm the fucking payer.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, I hope I don't see you soon.
You'll end up with the pregnant man emoji.
That just backfired. Was it yesterday I was on the phone with you? I told you that, you know, if you're ever in this area, we'll get you actually here in the studio. But you may not want to come now. That may be off the table.
That's a little deterrent right there. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Thanks.
Well, it was nice meeting you, Tony, sort of.
Yeah, you too, Mike. Yeah, enjoyed it, man. Enjoyed it.
It was fun.
All right. So Backwoods Bowhunter can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com, on Facebook and Instagram at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast, and over on Elon Musk's Twitter at BWBH Podcast. As always, you can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And I got to get to the right screen here.
Share and like.
If you have a couple minutes, please take the time to leave a review, especially on Apple and Spotify. It does help with the growth of the show. And believe you me, if you listen to any of that, at least everything minus Tony, you realize we need some help with the growth of this show. And in closing, y'all know what to do. Grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.